Tonight's talk is about relationships. You know, if we were fully enlightened, they wouldn't be a problem. We'd have all of the four Brahma Viharas, along with wise speech, wise action, wise livelihood, plus mindfulness going for us 24/7. But we're not, and we don't. If we fully understood the causes of dukkha or suffering, we'd naturally always want to treat other beings with kindness and respect. And then we wouldn't need any guidance from the Dharma. But we do. If we were fully enlightened, other beings might still be difficult to get along with, but we'd be at peace and able to cope with them. There are a lot of formulas for relationships, and I still come back to the one that my AA sponsor taught me. Show up. Really be there. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't get attached to the outcome. It's a real shorthand approach. But most relationships and our involvement in them are more complicated than that. It's difficult. It just is, coping with other human beings. Heck, it's hard to cope with ourselves. And I think one of the reasons why it's so difficult is that we want so badly for it to be easy. Just falling in love, floating on a cloud for the rest of our lives. We seek shortcuts everywhere. I remember how upset I was when I read His Holiness the Dalai Lama saying that we never truly know another. That was when I had lived with five partners, the longest of which was for 7 years. And I thought if we could just hang in there a little bit longer, we'd really know each other. But His Holiness is right. I have to admit it. We never truly know ourselves. And we have nonstop access to all of our thoughts. It's like thinking that you know a river really well because all of your life you've lived on a house right on it. But all you know about that river is that one spot on a long waterway, and that spot is constantly changing. The water rushing through it is different than what was there a moment ago. And that water is constantly changing the shape of the banks. We're not things. Not static. We're not really knowable. We humans bring to this moment whatever we've experienced in the past. And here in this moment, we are met with a flow of changing conditions. And the result is the process of me. And then the next moment is unknowable. until it happens. But we always like to think we can know it. Our sense of security depends on it. It's a major practice in Zen to be comfortable with the don't know, all that we don't know, because it's a lot. So in healthy relationships, these are good ones, you get two or more of such beings, and they bring some benefit to each other, and a relationship grows. Meanwhile, so do their expectations, which are constantly being upset. Now, we could call this the process of getting to know each other better, but there's a catch in that approach, because it leaves us thinking that we know the person in some kind of authoritative sense, as in, I knew Jack Kennedy, he was a friend of mine, and you are no Jack Kennedy. You might ask, what's wrong with knowing someone? Well, first, it's a delusion. Anatta teaches us that nothing is an enduring object. Not things, not living beings, not you or me or them. We are all a process that continually unfolds like a river. Yes, over time we have grown better at predicting the behavior of a friend or a partner, but they still surprise us. When we think we know this being who's evolving in front of us, we lose the freshness of what's really happening with that being. Instead of seeing them as they truly are, we often relate actually to a bunch of shorthand bits of knowledge and expectations that we've developed. I know this idea sounds kind of radical, but it's an important perspective to hold, even if it's hard to hold on to it. We catch a glimpse of this truth, and then it slips away again. I just keep trying to remember and come back to it, like in mindfulness, returning again and again. Now, over the years, I've given many talks on relationships, but this time I felt wary. I kept putting it off. Maybe I have learned enough that I know there are no rules that could possibly apply to everyone. Every person is unique, so every relationship is at least doubly unique, if that was possible. But I've been thinking and talking to good friends about how the Dharma can apply to us in our relationships. And the big one is acceptance. How can we really accept beings if we don't try to recognize their true nature? When we don't, there will often be traits of theirs that we dislike. I notice thoughts arising as I get to know people, like oh, they always do this, or this is how they are. These thoughts are not free of judgment. In fact, they're often bordering on growing resentments. So maybe we've asked those people to change, and they don't. Maybe we've patiently explained why it would be good for them to change, and still they don't. So we kind of have to ask ourselves, how long have they been in our lives? This may just be their way of being. It might be time for us to accept that. And then there are all those other people doing what humans do. Animals, too, scratching and making noise, chewing on things. I am constantly trying to teach people the best way to drive their cars. And almost no one gets it. When will I accept that? All of us practice mindfulness. And we can use it when we're making assumptions about who other people are, how they feel, what they want, or what they mean to say or do, or intend to do in the future. Mindfulness will help us recognize when we're not being open to that person's reality. Early in my law career, another associate attorney would often remind people not to make assumptions, to be mindful of when they did. She liked to write out the word assume, pointing to the letters, and say, when you assume, you make an ass of you and me. It was an odd enough thing for her to do that I've never forgotten it. It has made me look to see if I'm just assuming something or if I know the truth about my reasons for feeling or acting a certain way. Maybe I think someone disapproves of me and that annoys me. Is there a way to check that out? Maybe something else was bothering them. If I check it out, maybe I'll see that I need to make something right with them. And almost always that's doable. It's a very common belief we have that other people think the way we do, that our reality is universal. But that's not true. It just isn't. So we need to check it out. Really listening to others and asking questions with a heart that's open to what they do feel, what their desires and intentions are, can keep relationships healthy and beneficial to the parties. One of the perfections or paramitas is patience. We really need this when we forget the truth of how things really are and start clinging to how we think things should be. Like the way I cling to the way I think people should drive. It doesn't do me any good. Patience can serve as a buffer between us and our impulses. The worst of which, of course, is retaliatory driving, which I swear I have not done for years, but it can be dangerous. Having anger arise is just dukkha until we act on it through speech or other behavior. And then it can become a real cascade of dukkha for everyone concerned. Certainly for us, and unfortunately, the spectators. We can just try to practice patience every chance we get. And, you know, if you look, you'll notice there are a lot of opportunities to practice. And we're not even recognizing them. We just get impatient, and that's the way it is. But when we do see what's going on and just let ourselves feel that impatience as it dissipates, we will basically desensitize ourselves to that prickly, uncomfortable feeling. And this practice will give us a better chance of being able to at least pause before we react. I think we were talking about this last week with wise speech, just pausing. And when that pause lasts long enough so we can check out our assumptions about the other person's reality, then again, we can avoid a lot of unnecessary dukkha. Another thing we can practice is having more clarity in communication. There is something fun about having shortcuts in speech, like a couple stock phrases or some odd little term that's briefly popular. But FYI, they can lead to misunderstandings. For example, there are probably people who didn't know what the heck I was talking about when I mentioned Jack Kennedy. Lloyd Benson said that to Dan Quayle in the 1988 vice presidential debate, and it became a thing. Now it isn't. We enjoy these oblique references when we do catch the meaning, because it makes us feel clever. But it can cause trouble when we don't understand and assume that we do. We would do well to practice wise speech and the four divine abodes in all relationships, and that includes co-workers, clients, students, your opposing counsel, contractors, fellow drivers and shoppers. We have so many relationships with people. Wise speech is a lifetime's practice. Don't get so frustrated with your missteps that you give up working with it. Or if you do, return to the practice when you can. Call on metta and compassion for yourself and for those you have relationships with to get you through those inevitable times when something goes wrong with the relationship. Enjoy the heck out of it when the relationship is clear and happy, using sympathetic joy, and practice equanimity, that wonderful state of accepting things when they aren't. So here are a few things we can especially seek equanimity for. The screw-ups of others, especially when it costs us something. Their quirks and their unlikeliness ever to change. Forgiveness is a wonderful healing when we feel they've done something they shouldn't that causes us dukkha. Over the years, I've given a lot of talks about forgiveness. It's a loving form of letting go. And like renunciation, it's a process that begins with our intention. Between the moment of deciding we'll forgive and the moment of totally feeling that way, a lot of time can pass. Just remember that forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves. It lets us drop that heavy burden of aversion that we've been dragging around. It doesn't make right what others have done, but it lets both sides heal. And we always need to maintain a good relationship with ourselves. Don't forget this one. The most intimate and enduring relationship any of us will ever have. Tragically, we often treat other people better than we treat ourselves. We're kind of the bottom of our own totem poles. Kindness has to start here. This past Wednesday, I was down at IMC and I had an interview with someone who had woken up happy that morning. She was not beating herself up about anything, nor was she worried or angry about anything. She was at peace with herself and others. I haven't talked to her since, but on that day, she woke up at peace. It is so important to love ourselves and accept ourselves. How can we have a healthy relationship with others if we're unkind to the very person they're trying to relate to? We can start by having patience with the way we're working with all of the practices I've just listed. Remembering they're just practices. It's like the physical therapy that I have to do every day and I'll probably be doing for the rest of my life. There's just no point berating myself that I still need to work at it. That's how it is. Control in a relationship can be a big issue too. But if we really could control the way others do things, it would be quite unhealthy and creepy. Patience helps us cut off that urge we have to try to control them, which is our part of the dukkha. Here, patience is the twin of acceptance, which delivers us from so many second, third, and 7,000th arrows of dukkha. And another aspect of patience and control is advice. The advice I offer you is, don't offer it. Not unless the other person or people ask for advice. And if they do, really listen to their request and don't go beyond the bounds of what they're ready to hear. That's the rule of wise speech that says we whatever we say should be appropriate. Appropriate to what's happening with the audience. And please, we have to remember that there's a really big chance that they will hear and not take your advice. Consider it just another seed in the wind. And in a sense, that's the essence of everything we do in relationship with all other beings. Just casting the seeds of our goodwill to the wind that blows their way. All we can do really is check out how things really are to the best of our ability. Try to make sure our intention is kind, and then do our best with no attachment to the outcome. So, for the purposes of our discussion, let's try a little contemplation first. It's like meditation, but you direct your attention to something, then see what comes into your awareness. So, get comfortable. You don't need even to close your eyes unless you want to. And just be with your breathing. Now bring to mind someone you care about, maybe who's not here, who you'd like to relate to a little better. Hold this person in your mind for a while, and then I'll ask you three questions. How do you know who this person is? How do you know who this person is? What has happened in your relationship with them that has given rise to dukkha for you? Identify the events and hold your suffering with compassion. How can the Dharma help you relate to this person? Thank you.